We're continuing our series, Praying Effectively. If we pray effectively, we'll end up praying more because we learn that our prayers really do make a difference. I mean, we see that our prayers are making a difference. It just makes you want to pray more and more and more. And you know what? Jesus is the final authority on praying effectively. Amen. Well, three of us know that. The rest of you, come on. Jesus is the one that we ought to listen to if you want to know how to pray. And I think that we should do what Jesus tells us to do. I mean, if he says this is the way you do it, if you ain't doing it that right way, you're doing it wrong. And I don't care what religious people say about, oh, it don't matter. Pray the way Jesus says to pray. So we talked about this. The first thing is you got to ask. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Those are the words of Jesus. Ask and you will receive. So we ask. Jesus tells us to pray to the Father, and he tells us to pray with, he teaches us to pray with humility, that we don't pray with any kind of religious pride or anything like that, but we pray humbly and we pray in reverence and worship, honoring God. Amen. And tonight we're going to talk about this, that Jesus tells us to pray in his name. In his name. It's really important that you pray in his name. John 14, 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In my name. In my name. John 15, 16. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. See, he tells the disciples very plainly, he says, now, you know, you haven't been asking in my name up until now, you see, but something is about to change on this night that he is to be betrayed. He knows that things are about to change. It's about to be time for them to start asking the Father in his name. And we're still living in that time. We are to ask the Father in Jesus' name. I want to say this again. Jesus never teaches any kind of vain religion. Nothing that is just empty, you know, just for religion's sake. When Jesus tells us to do something, it's for a reason. We need to understand that. If he says to pray in his name, that is the way we should pray. You want to pray effectively? You pray in the name of Jesus. We need to understand, this isn't just how you conclude your prayer. Oh, well, pray in the name of Jesus. That's right. I finish my prayers with, in Jesus' name. We're talking about something more than just a little tag on the end of your prayer. It's not just a way. I appreciate this, okay? So I'm going to say, it's not just a way for you to let other people who hear you pray know that you're praying to the one true God, because you use the name of Jesus, so you're not praying to the generic God, you know, like some people do. You know, they want us to pray that way, so it's everybody likes it, because, you know, it's prayer. No matter what God you believe in, you're just praying to God. No, we pray in Jesus' name. But I want you to understand that praying in Jesus' name, it's more than just letting other people know that you're praying to the one true God. There's something more to this. And see, we need to understand what this is all about. I think some Christians kind of get the idea that the name of Jesus, it's like the Christian abracadabra. It's a magic word. You just say in the name of Jesus, and it's a magic word. So we just use that word, just like in, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch these shows, and abracadabra was the magic word that opened the cave. You know what I'm saying? And people say the name of Jesus like it's abracadabra. No, it's much more than that. That's not at all what it is. We need to understand what that name represents. I mean, it doesn't mean much to us to say the name of Jesus if we don't know what it means. So when we need to know why this is so important. Why does Jesus say this over and over? Ask in my name. Why does he say that? I mean, you know, in the Old Testament, nobody prayed in Jesus' name. But something changed. Something changed when he went to the Father. We pray in the name of Jesus because Jesus took our sins away and he made us righteous. It is him, Jesus, that did that. And so we're praying in his name because he is the one, he's the reason that we're righteous. Now I said that really clearly, all right? He's the reason that we're righteous. We pray in Jesus' name because he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We pray in Jesus' name because that name is above every name. There's authority and power in that name that's far above everything in this world, everything in heaven and earth and under the earth. Amen. We come to the Father in Jesus' name. And we pray in that name because we have his righteousness. We can't come to the Lord on the basis of our own goodness. You know how it goes. Every funeral, they say, he was a good man. Doesn't matter what kind of person they were. They say, he was a good man. We're not talking about that kind of good. We're not talking about the best good, like the best person you ever knew. We're talking about being right with God, righteous before him. Listen, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. So it is in Jesus that we've been made righteous, and that's why we pray in his name. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, avails much. You mean to tell you another way to say that? It's very effective. The prayer of a righteous man is very effective. Now, how many righteous people do we have here tonight? Hey, that's pretty good. Some of you, you're a little timid. Because I know how it is in our culture. We can't say we're righteous. Oh. But we need to understand this. Oh, we certainly are not righteous by our own deeds and actions. But we certainly are righteous by the one who took our sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the fervent prayer of a righteous man is very effective. You see, when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we are coming in that righteousness that's provided to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's different. When you pray in Jesus' name, see, you're praying in that name because he made you righteous. So you need to get rid of any guilt or condemnation because you come to God in the name of Jesus. Now, let me just clarify here. Listen, if you've got some things that you know you're not right, that you need to confess to God, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what's that leave when you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness? Righteous. So, you know, if there's some things between you and God tonight, some things you know you didn't do right, you know that you got some things you need to confess to God, well, confess it to God. You know, don't allow that to hinder your prayer life. Get right. Amen. But you see, it is because of what he's done for us that's all you got to do. Be willing to admit it and confess it to him, because he's paid the price for it already. So we pray in Jesus' name. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he's always trying to get you to back down because of your own sin, your own weaknesses. Why would God listen to you? See, you need to get a hold of this tonight. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're going to God in the righteousness of God in Jesus. So you need to get this. You see, you need to know that your prayers are very effective, because you're coming to God as a righteous man, as a righteous woman, because you're coming in the name of Jesus. I'm so glad you don't have to be perfect to have your prayers answered. There's only been one who is perfect, and that's why we pray in his name. Such power in that name. Using the name of Jesus, oh, it represents such power. It represents Jesus, his righteousness, his shed blood that made the way for us to have access to the throne of grace. We come humbly, but we also come with confidence because we're coming in his name. See, you come with confidence when you pray in the name of Jesus. That name gets us access to the throne of grace, where we can find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. That name brings us into all of the privileges of being a son or daughter of God. It's all because of what Jesus has done for us. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, you need to see these two verses. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. This is how you come into the holiest. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. See, we're coming by faith in the blood of Jesus that opened the way for us to come into the holiest. That's being in the very presence of God. He's not far away. That's how you get right into the presence of God. It is because we believe, we have faith in the blood of Jesus, what he did for us. We come boldly, he says. See, we come with this confidence because we come in his name. It's no cause for pride. It's really weird how some Christians can shift this over into a pride thing, like they're going to march into the throne room of God and they're all, you know, chest out. I'm coming boldly. You misunderstand. It's bold just to come into the holiest. That's bold, just to even come in. But all of our confidence, all of our boldness is because of his blood. It ain't our blood. It's his blood that has made the way. And so we come in confidence because of the blood of Jesus, because none of ours would get it done. But his blood has made the way so that we can come with confidence. Confidence, confidence in the blood of Jesus, that we know that it was enough. You need to know this, child of God. It was enough to cover your sin, not just so you could make heaven, but so that you could pray and have your prayers answered. He sees you as righteous. You are the righteousness of God in him. You know, in this verse, he says, a new and living way. In the Old Testament, you see, they didn't have what we have. They had this old way where the high priest, once a year, only one person, only the high priest, once a year, could go into that holy place. But there's a new and living way. It is available to us every single day. A new and living way by the blood of Jesus has been opened to us so that we can come in and we can be in the very presence of God as we talk to Him, all because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. In John 16, 26 and 27, He said, "In that day you will ask in My name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved Me and have believed that I came forth from God." Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe that He came forth from God?
Yes.
Then you need to know this. You see, Jesus says, "I'm not going to pray for you, because you love Me and you believe that I came from God, the Father loves you." You need to know this when you pray because of Jesus, but the Father loves you. He's telling us, it's not, he doesn't have to pray for us. We can pray because the Father loves us. You see, when you go to God in Jesus' name because of what He's done for you, you're going to a Father who loves you. You're praying to a Father who loves you. And there's great power and authority in His name. That name, it represents the One who has all power and authority. It's the most powerful name in heaven and earth and under the earth. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. "Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That's the authority. That's the power of that name. You see, we need to know there's a spiritual war that's taking place in this world, and there is a power, you see, over all of those principalities and powers and spiritual forces. It is the name of Jesus. It's above every name. You know, we don't see that spiritual battle, but we see the evidence of it in this world all the time, both good and bad. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." See, that's where the real battle is being fought. How do we fight against such powers? I mean, most of us don't even understand all of that stuff. But here's the thing, you know the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. But while Jesus was here on the earth, you see, the disciples didn't pray in the name of Jesus. It was when He left that they were to pray in the name of Jesus. After He rose from the dead and He conquered death, He conquered hell. He made an open show. He made a spectacle out of the principalities and powers, those powers of darkness. He made a spectacle of them. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We just need to know there's so much power in that name. John 14, 12 through 14, "Most assuredly I say to you, He who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to My Father. And whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it." What power! Now here's an issue that we need to just deal with and get this out of the way. Whatever you ask in My name, if Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you give me the winning lottery numbers. Whatever you ask in my name. I want you to know people just get plumb silly with the word of God, trying to use it in some selfish, carnal way. That's not what Jesus was talking about. In fact, if you read it in the context of those three verses, John 14, 12 through 14, he's talking about doing his work. He said, the works that I do also, that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these. And I want to tell you that Jesus, through his people, through the body of Christ, all around the world, Jesus was one place at a time, but the body of Christ is all around the world. And there are still people's lives being changed every day. And when we're doing his work, you see, when we're ministering to people, when we're helping people, praying for the sick, casting out devils, seeing people set free. I'm telling you, that name, that's where the power is. If you ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. What power? The name of Jesus. I just got to deal with false doctrine because I want to tell you what false doctrine does. It keeps people from really being able to believe God in the end. See, some people get all wound up about some things and they get all excited, but then they get disillusioned because it didn't work the way they thought it was going to. So I'm just going to deal with this head on tonight. I've heard people teach this stuff where they say, the name of Jesus, it's a blank check. It's like Jesus put his name on the check and you just use it however you want. That is total garbage. That is not from the Bible. Jesus did not give you a blank check. Just go use it however you want. The name of Jesus is not for you to use however you want. The name of Jesus is to carry out the king's plan, to carry out the king's will, to bring his kingdom and his will into this earth. It's not for doing what we want, some selfish thing. Oh no. I'll tell you, the name of the king is supposed to be used to advance his kingdom. We only have authority as we are under his authority. We don't use his name for our purposes, but for his purposes. You know, in the days of the kings, when a king gave a decree, people would carry it out in his name. I mean, people would say, the king said, or the king decreed, and this is, you know, when they did that, you see, when they carried that for the king, it was as though the king said it to them. If someone were to use the name of the king when he didn't say it, that person most likely would have been put to death. And I just got to tell you, Deuteronomy 18 and 20 says that when a prophet presumes to speak in the Lord's name and he didn't say it, he said, they shall die. In fact, it goes on, it says, the people said, well, how do we know? How do we know? And the Lord says, if they prophesied it, it didn't come to pass. I want to tell you, there was a lot of garbage going on in our day and our time. People saying all kinds of, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. False prophecy. I just got to tell you, I'm not saying we're going to stone people, but I just got to tell you that that is not God. And we shouldn't try to use the name of Jesus and to say the Lord said this or the Lord said that when it wasn't the Lord. You see, what he says, there's great power in that name to carry out what he says. That's the power of that name. Use the name. Use the name, but use it as though it is something that's very, very special. A name above every name. Use it as something that is holy and sacred to you. Because it carries such power. Such power. There's not really a good earthly example of that kind of power. I mean, you could talk about, you know, the atomic football, you know, who's got the button. What power? Oh, no. You need to understand, this power is far above that power. We need to elevate our opinion. We need to elevate our estimation of the name of Jesus. We need to realize how powerful this is. You see, it won't mean anything to you if you think it's no big deal. You need to understand how important it is to pray in the name of Jesus. But that name, it only brings that power when we are operating under His authority. Don't make the same kind of error these guys did in Acts chapter 19. Now, I think this is a funny story, but it's also pretty sad. Acts chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 16. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so, and the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That's what you call a whooping. I mean, good grief. It's bad enough when you're wounded, but you got your clothes stripped off. What a shame. You know what I'm saying? I mean, especially when there's seven of you and there was only this one dude, demon possessed. This wasn't all the powers of hell, by the way. This was one demon. Another silly thing. People get the attitude like, "Oh, the devil ain't got no power." Listen, apart from Jesus, none of us is any match at all. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the name of Jesus that we have power over all the power of the enemy. Apart from Jesus, we're no match. Look what happened to these seven guys. How'd this happen? They're trying the name of Jesus. They didn't even know Jesus. They knew about the name, that Paul did it. They knew Paul did it like this. But you see, this goes back to what I said at the very beginning. It's not an abracadabra word. It's not some magic word that you just throw out there. You got to know the one whose name it is. You got to understand what that name means. And you pray in Jesus' name. You understand what He did to pay the price for your sins, that He made you righteous by His blood. You know that that name is above every name. It's not some game you're playing. It's not just, you know, something you're trying. It's something you believe in, something that you embrace with all your heart, the name of Jesus. Jesus. Peter and John, on the way to the temple one day to pray, and there's a lame man begging for alms. Peter says, "Look on us." I'm sure the man was probably excited. He thought he was about to get some money. Acts 3:6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's where the power is. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. A mighty miracle. How did this happen? In the name of Jesus. That's the power of that name. And you know, all the people were filled with awe and wonder. They were amazed. Verse 11 of that chapter, it says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk? See, Peter gives all the glory to God. He says, it's not by our goodness, not by our power. It's all Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. Now he tells them, this is the same Jesus that y'all crucified. And then in verse 16, he says, And his name. See, over and over and over, his name, in my name. It's that name. Through faith in his name. Do you have faith in his name? Amen. Has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all through faith in his name. It is the name Jesus. It's all that it represents, that power that flows when we believe in his name. And Peter, he invoked that name of Jesus. He believed that power would flow. You know, in our religious culture today, people struggle so much to believe like that. And I really believe I know in part why. It is because there is so little respect, honor, or reverence for the name. I don't think you mind, sweetheart. We sat in a doctor's office where the doctor used that name as a byword. We found a different doctor. I'm just telling you, that name, he's the Holy One. Demons are afraid of that name. They tremble at the name. And yet a lot of Christians seem to act like it's nothing. And I'm just telling you, we need to get a holy fear and respect for the name. Use the name. Yes, use the name. But use it right. Don't ever use it in some casual, flippant way. No, it is holy and special. Exodus 20 and 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, they didn't use the name of Jesus as a name for the Lord in the Old Testament when this command was given. But you know this, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you're using the name of Jesus in some kind of way other than addressing him or using his name in the right way, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Listen, taking the Lord's name in vain doesn't just mean that you use it as some kind, you know, you connected it with a curse word or used it as a byword. No, to take it in vain means, well, let me just tell it like this. Vain means producing no results, to no purpose, useless, to no avail, futile, pointless. Will you use the name of Jesus to no purpose, useless? To no avail, futile, pointless, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. And I'm just telling you, you see, I'm not just saying don't do that. I'm saying, oh, let's get this attitude. When I say that name, Jesus, there's power. There's power. Jesus. Oh, that is the most powerful name in heaven or earth. Jesus. Amen. Never say that name unless you're using it for a purpose. And when people say it casually, they just have no idea of the power of that name. You don't play with that kind of power. When you say the name, realize all that that name means. Jesus gave us a great commission in Mark chapter 16. He says to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. Then in verse 17, he says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. There it is. In my name. I'm going to say it one more time. It is not the abracadabra. It is all that that name holds. In my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, he said. See, we go out in the power using that name to do his work, to do what he wants us to do, to see people healed, see people set free, to see people saved. Amen. To see his kingdom advance, to see his kingdom come in this world. I'm going to close with two verses from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. The people, the church got together. They're praying about persecution. And it says, now look, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That was their prayer. And I'll tell you, we need to be praying like that, that the Lord will do signs and wonders, that people will be healed, that God will move and work because of the name of his holy servant, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, pray in the name of Jesus. And when you do, every time you speak it, you see, every time you speak it, this world may look at it as nothing. But you need to know in your heart when you say that name, there's power, there's authority in that name. And you, as a child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, you are qualified to use that name, but use it in the right way. And when you go to the Father, remember the words of Jesus. Some of you, you need to write those scriptures down, go back over it, get those scriptures and get them down in your heart. Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray.